It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now. I'm starving.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, presented, of course, by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman in a former life, 5 teams. 7 years. Those of you that check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL, can check out all the helmets or game balls or whatever. I didn't buy those. They actually gave them to me. Actually, I take that back. I did buy the Cowboys helmet. They payroll deducted me $300 to get my own helmet. I mean, would they have even noticed if I just took it after they cut me? Anyway, that's a story for another day. What you should do is you should follow me on social media at RossTuckerNFL. Because I post delicious beers and football insight and awesome press box food. You can also, and you should, follow the star of this show, Joe Dolan. He's the fantasy gangsta at FG_Dolan. He is the master of all he oversees at fantasypoints.com. I'm not aware of a better website to get information than fantasypoints.com. And I have a code for you. It's 22feast that you can use at fantasypoints.com. Although I saw, Joe, on social media where you said you're so stressed out, you feel like you might vomit. You need to explain.
Well, Ross, I mean, first and foremost, it is the NFL season and we're busy, but that's not it. Like, I'm in a wedding this weekend. Okay. It's a fall wedding. You know, people, I'm in the wedding. Okay. I have to be there. It's on Sunday. There's a wedding on Saturday that I'm also going to in Philadelphia. And I'm flying out in the middle of a hurricane. So how does that make you feel, Ross? I am a shell of a human being right now, an absolute shell of one. But they were delivering. So I was recording my morning show for YouTube today. You can see I'm like breaking out in hives. Like you could literally like see it. They were delivering my new bed this morning. So I best laid plans, right? I schedule people to come and haul away our old bed because we got a new one coming. They come to haul away my old bed. They're coming later today to haul away the old bed. So I'm like, oh man, we'll make room for the old bed. They're going to haul it away. Delivery truck gets here this morning with the new bed. Oh, we don't have the legs. Okay, so go get them. No, we can't do that because we're on a route. So they're going to call you tomorrow to reschedule. So now we don't have a bed. So on this stressful week, no bed. No. So, oh my God, Ross. All right. Sorry, everybody. I needed to vent. Thank you for giving me the.
Yeah, you're not really coming across as a fantasy gangsta, Joe. I got to tell you.
Ross, I'm still doing the research. I'm still doing the research here.
And it should be noted that you have bad friends. The summary there is friend getting married Saturday and Sunday in October.
Well, reason I'm going to the Saturday wedding and like because I was very prepared to tell the Saturday friend, hey, man, I can't do it. I can't travel north twice for the wedding. It just happens to be the same weekend. So I'm like, all right, I got to do that. Right. Like I can be there popping in. Oh, man, Ross, let me tell you, you're going to see a very happy Joe on next week's Fantasy Feast podcast because this weekend will be the hurricane will be out of the here. I'll be a very happy man.
I'll be a very happy man if you start talking fantasy football.
All right, let's
like
do it.
You're supposed to on this show. No, that's a funny story, Joe. I'm just messing with you. But we do have Thursday night football. Dolphins, Bengals. Dolphins, as we record this Wednesday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time, this, of course, the show that's so nice. We do it twice. We obviously also do an episode for the Sunday late games and the Monday nighter that we post very early Thursday mornings to not mess up your podcast apps. And you can always watch youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. But as of right now, Joe, do we think Tua's playing? Do we not think he's playing? What do we think that means for the Dolphins skill guys?
I think too, I'm going to say he's playing until proven otherwise. But Teron Armstead is injured. That's a big question mark for Miami in this game. So let's look at that. Now on the defensive side, the Bengals lost DJ Reader, their nose tackle, who's a very strong run defender, also a good interior pass rusher, could maybe open things up for that run game for Miami. Far be it from me, though, to be able to tell you which of those running backs to play, because they've essentially rotated in and out of the lineup through the first 3 weeks. Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert. Mostert was the lead back in week two after barely playing in week one. And then what happens? Chase Edmonds scores the two touchdowns in week three. So it's a really tough situation to get a hold of here. I mean, ideally, Ross, Miami is really one of the – they're a two-man fantasy team plus Tua, Hill and Waddle. And maybe you have to plug one of those running backs into a flex spot and just hope that they're the lead back that week. But really, it's Hill, Waddle, and Tua. And Tua's obviously a downgrade this week because of the injury. So just keep that in mind when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. As for the Bengals here, I mean, they're having a couple of guys who are underperforming their expected fantasy points. So expected fantasy points is a stat that our guy Scott Barrett at fantasypoints.com has developed, and we have it all available on the website. And it basically, it is what it is. It takes league averages from what does a target on the 37-yard line typically produce from a fantasy point perspective. And two guys who are vastly underperforming their expected fantasy points right now on the Bengals are Ja'Marr Chase, but especially Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is the number one running back in expected fantasy points. He is the number 17 running back in actual fantasy points. So there is some positive regression coming. Now, I think a large part of this is because the offense in general has underperformed. So you have to take that into account. By the way, Joe Mixon, I know he had the ankle injury in last week's game. He practiced in full on Tuesday, so he is almost certainly going to be able to go on Thursday night. I think he is in a bounce back spot. Miami's a tough matchup, but he's a guy I think is going to bounce back, and I think he's going to become a really strong RB1. So another injury to watch for the Bengals, which might increase the target share of Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, is tight end Hunter Henry picked up a groin injury. Or excuse me, the Hayden Hurst, one of the other double H. He picked up a groin injury. So something to watch there for the Bengals.
What about the 9:30 game across the pond? Jameis Winston did not practice today, but he is expected to practice tomorrow. Dennis Allen does not sound concerned.
Yeah, so obviously that's the big question, because you would think this offense changes drastically just based on the styles of Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston if Andy Dalton cannot play. So how about this? Here, I'm going to throw a stat out to you. First and foremost, Alvin Kamara, another expected fantasy points positive regression candidate, playing through the rib injury. He's probably still playing through pain. I'm not panicking yet on him. Jameis Winston in the second half, the Saints have played from behind two straight second halves. Man, that guy out there throwing YOLO balls. Chris Olave has 531 air yards per fantasy points data. So what air yards is how far down the field a player has been targeted in total on his all of his targets. That is 155 yards more than the next closest wide receiver, Cortland Sutton. That is a staggering number through three games. So Olave,
what is that stat again?
So he has 531 air yards on his targets, like basically the totality of how far down the field he's been targeted on his throws. That is 155 more yards than the second place wide receiver, who is Cortland Sutton. That is staggering. Now, of course, one deep ball can skew that, but that's all Olave's getting. He gets 9 catches for 147 receiving yards on 13 targets in week two. So not only is Olave getting these massive targets down the field, but he's also getting a lot of targets. He's had 33% and 34% target shares over the last 2 weeks. Michael Thomas did not practice today. So he's dealing with a toe injury. Jarvis Landry's dealing with a foot injury. Now, if Andy Dalton were to be the quarterback for the Saints, I think that drastically changes Olave's outlook because he's not as aggressive as Jameis. But Chris Olave is a big-time boom wide receiver three right now. All he's getting so many of these deep balls. All he needs really is to connect on one, and he's going to make your week for you. And he's been doing a little bit more than that right now.
What about the Vikings?
The Vikings are I thought it was going to be the squeaky wheel game for Justin Jefferson last week. He has disappointed so far. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, I had people in our subscriber Discord who are like, if Justin Jefferson does anything, I win my matchup. But it's not. But you can't knock yourself for playing Justin Jefferson. You know, like, look what he did in week one. He'll be fine. KJ Osborne, I still wonder if this is a little bit of fool's gold. But the concern I have for Jefferson this week, not like you're benching him, maybe it's a DFS concern, is the potential shadow of Marshon Lattimore, who obviously has done very good job in the past on receivers like Mike Evans. The Vikings, you play Jefferson, you play Thielen. The key thing here is to watch out for the Dalvin Cook situation. And he has yet another shoulder injury. Last time he did it was in November of last year. He missed one game, came back with the harness, and ran for over 200 yards and two touchdowns in his next performance. He says he's going to play, could be limited. I would downgrade him, but I'm not sure I'm comfortable playing Alexander Mattison if Cook plays in this game. If not, then absolutely you fire up Alexander Mattison, but that is a situation we've got to monitor. It might come down until game time, which probably does not sound like music to the ears of people on the West Coast who might have to get up at like 4 a.m. to see if Dalvin Cook is active for this London game.
Ooh, that's a good point, Joe. Cleveland and Atlanta. I think both these offenses are producing more fantasy points than people thought coming into the year, Joe.
Yeah, my little stat about Cleveland, and by the way, that wasn't actually my stat, that was Graham Barfield's stat, and I have to make sure Graham Barfield knows that I love him and make for him making me sound good quite often on this program. But the stat kind of blew up there, Ross, on Twitter about Cleveland's offense, and Nick Chubb, by the way, has finished as a top 18 running back in every week this year, which is great. Amari Cooper, back-to-back 100-yard and a touchdown games. And then the big one, I think, for Cleveland was David Njoku having a huge game. Kevin Stefanski said he did a great job blocking in the first two games. You know, they get Jack Conklin back, and all of a sudden Njoku's out there, and he produced like the guy they paid the surprising contract. Of course, he was on the franchise tag. Man, like, David Njoku's a borderline tight end one right now. Jacoby Brissett throwing him the ball. Really enjoyed seeing that. By the way, I was remiss. I should have said that this game is Atlanta catching 1.5 points at home. Cleveland, it's a over-under of 49.5. So you look at this game and you're like, ugh, Cleveland and Atlanta? This is the highest total game on the board outside of Buffalo and Baltimore, which we will obviously get to. But you're right. These two offenses, way better than most people anticipate.
They have been. There's no question. Yeah. What do you like in particular with these teams in this game?
Yeah, so I think Cleveland's a pretty easy team. You play Chubb. You probably play Hunt, even though Chubb's been more involved recently. And you play Amari Cooper. And David Njoku is certainly somebody to mix in. I blew people's minds with the stat on Cleveland last week. Let's do it with Atlanta. The Falcons are averaging 5.8 yards gained per play on early downs. That is fourth best in the NFL, behind only the Ravens, Packers, and the Eagles. 44% of the Falcons' drives, that was the stat I said about Cleveland last week, have ended in a score. That's seventh best in the NFL. The Falcons have punted on just 19% of their possessions. That's behind only the Bills at 13%. So the Falcons are punting the second least in the NFL. And Atlanta's offensive line has allowed Marcus Mariota to be pressured on just 20% of his dropbacks per fantasy points data. Third lowest rate in the entire NFL. This might be a legitimately good offense right now. I'm not sure how much it's going to continue, but it might be a legitimately good offense right now. And also, Arthur Smith, old Artie Smith. Remember, he's getting criticized because Kyle Pitts wasn't getting the football. Oh, I don't play fantasy football. You know, we're trying to win football games. Well, they were 0-2 with Kyle Pitts not having a role, very much of a role in the first two games. They're now 1-2. But Kyle Pitts was seventh among all players in team expected fantasy points percentage. He was third in target share in the league, 12th in air yardage share in the league in week three, and 15th in yardage market share. So now he's second all of a sudden among all tight ends in target share. The problem is the Falcons are not throwing the ball a lot, which then speaks to how well Cordarrelle Patterson has been playing. He's got to be in your lineup. He's a borderline RB1. If you want to sell Cordarrelle Patterson high, I'm okay with doing that. But just keep in mind right now, if you've got him, you roll with him if you're not looking to trade him.
The Brownies?
The Browns, it's Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Amari Cooper. Those guys are in your lineup. David Njoku, borderline tight end one right now after the increased usage in a game in which the Browns got Jack Conklin back. Although Jedrick Wills is going, he suffered an injury last week. I don't know if he's going to play.
Buffalo at Baltimore, Joe.
So here is a game right now. We're looking at Buffalo on the highway laying 3. The total in this game now is 51.5, and I would wonder if that's going to continue to fall because there could be some residuals of Hurricane Ian in Baltimore on Sunday. So keep that in mind. So that total could well be falling. Buffalo just had one of those weird games. They ran 90 plays to Miami's 39 and didn't win the football game. And here's the surprise. By the way, Stephon Diggs, who had a monster game in Miami, said he's never been more tired after a football game. That's what that weather in Miami did to Buffalo. Guys are cramping up all over the field. But here's a really good sign. Despite coming into the game questionable with an ankle injury, Gabriel Davis ran a route on a team-high 89% of Josh Allen's dropbacks. So Gabriel Davis was a full-time player. I know he had a touchdown go through his hands. I get that. But attached to Josh Allen with this role, he's going to have a massive season. So obviously Allen, Diggs are in your lineup. Dawson Knox, fringy tight end one. Gabriel Davis is a really strong wide receiver 3. Baltimore's been having some issues in the secondary. Isaiah McKenzie, he's probably a wide receiver 5 on your bench, but hey, maybe you have some injuries. And Devin Singletary, while this train is rolling, I'm still going to be rolling with Devin Singletary. He caught 9 passes in that game against Miami. So Devin Singletary, a guy who probably not the sexiest name for fantasy, but attached to this Baltimore to this Buffalo offense, you got to start him right now.
Yeah, I think there's no question about it. Anything else in this game of note?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson's good. He's probably the MVP right now. You know to start Lamar Jackson. They finally got some life in the run game with Justice Hill and J.K. Dobbins. I didn't see enough from either of those guys to recommend them as starts right now. They're obviously getting J.K. Dobbins' feet under him. And you know you're starting Mark Andrews. Now, here is the one thing. I loved Rashad Bateman this year. Adored him. First couple of weeks, 2 long touchdowns, okay? The problem with long touchdowns is they are not really a sustainable aspect, and he's not getting a ton of targets. He has run a route on just 73% of the Ravens' pass plays, which is 62nd most among wide receivers. That has got to change, and it has got to change quick. I don't know what they're doing with Rashad Bateman, but right now he's not a part-time player, but he's not exactly a full-time player. That's a big concern because he is living off of big plays, and eventually that's going to burn you. And it kind of did this past week because he didn't get in the end zone.
Washington is in Dallas, Joe.
I don't know if you're a praying man, Ross. Are you?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Say a couple prayers for Carson Wentz. Because Micah Parsons and and DeMarcus Lawrence are coming for him. Wentz was abominable against the Eagles, and I do the Sirius XM game day show on Sundays, and the first time that Washington had the football, we were off air, we were in a break, and I saw Wentz take 2 sacks, and I said to Paul Kelly, this game's over. It's over. Like, Wentz was the moment was he was not ready for the moment. His offensive line, to be fair, was not ready. But not when a guy gets sacked nine times, you well know, Ross, not all of those are on the offensive line, okay?
No, I thought at least four were on Wentz.
Yeah, so, like, it's going to happen again against Dallas. This pass rush is going to get to him. Washington cannot run the football. Everything that they have done, everything they've done really in the first three games has been second half, you know, Wentz having to try to rally them. They were successful against Jacksonville 2 weeks ago against Detroit. They made it close, but it didn't get there. And then against Philly, that game was never in doubt in the second half. And everything that they produced was just Wentz chucking the ball down the field. Curtis Samuel has led Washington in targets in all three games. He is officially a thing. And with this pass rush from Dallas, I think those short targets are going to be big for Curtis Samuel in this game. But this is a horrifying spot for Washington's offense, coming off of another horrifying spot for Washington's offense. I'm not feeling very optimistic about Carson Wentz this week.
Dallas offensively with Cooper Rush, they're getting Tony Pollard involved?
Yeah, well, Pollard, though, didn't run a route on a high percentage of Rush's dropbacks. I just don't understand it. Look, here, Pollard's early down carries, by the way, are gaining 5.9 yards per carry to Ezekiel Elliott's 4.0 yards per carry. And Zeke and Pollard have split red zone snaps. And that's bad news for Zeke Elliott. Now, Tony Pollard should be running more routes than he is. But right now, both of these guys to me are like RB3s. Pollard's kind of an upside RB3. I think Zeke's kind of a floor guy, but you really hope he gets in the end zone. You're kind of right. I mean, this is playing out like a lot of people thought it would so far this year. CeeDee Lamb. Boy, did he have one of the most horrifying drops you'll ever see. And then, of course, Ross, top five all-time bad drop. I mean,
He had a great catch.
Then he had a great catch for the touchdown. The good news is Cooper Rush, the moment has not been too big for him, which is really good news because it looks like it's almost certain he's going to play this week. And I think the report was Dak Prescott's angling for week five, but they're not sure about that. I almost wonder if Cooper Rush winning those two games, at least the Cincinnati game being an upset, did this buy Dallas a little more time with Michael Gallup and Dak Prescott to get them back from their injuries. I do expect Gallup to play this week, though I'm not sure if Gallup's going to overtake Noah Brown, at least when Cooper Rush is out there throwing the ball to his practice squad buddy, his scout team buddy, Noah Brown, who's looked pretty good so far. But Gallup is a bench stash if he's out there in your leagues. But Cooper Rush, given this Cowboy offense, more life than anybody could have anticipated. I didn't want to panic after CeeDee Lamb after week one. I was really close to it. But these last 2 weeks here with Cooper Rush have helped me calm my breath a little bit. I'm back in on CeeDee Lamb all the way.
Next up, how about Seattle in Detroit?
Yeah, we've got Seattle here catching 4.5. Detroit favored by 4.5. The total in this game, Detroit's been a dead nuts over team. This is a 49.5 point total. So a very high total. Again, a game where you're like, ooh, this game. But the total is high, which means it's a scoring environment. This is for Detroit. The spot where, if you're a fantasy player, I think you probably know this already, do not expect to have DeAndre Swift for the next 3 weeks. He's got the ankle injury, he's got the shoulder injury. They have two games coming up, obviously this week and next, and then the week six bye. So I wouldn't expect to have DeAndre Swift until week seven. Jamal Williams, a viable start. Kutztown University's own. Craig Reynolds, a deep, deep start if you are dying at running back. And also keep an eye on the status of Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has an ankle injury. Look, if St. Brown plays, you start him, okay? Like, obviously. But if he doesn't, DJ Chark, Josh Reynolds going to get some more targets. Maybe more of a game where you're dabbling because of the total in DFS as opposed to trying to pick through which of these receivers to start in your season-long league if Amon-Ra St. Brown doesn't play in this game. But Jamal Williams obviously is on the strong RB2 radar here against Seattle, a defense that to me doesn't offer much resistance.
Seattle offensively, Joe?
So here is the big problem with Seattle's offense. First and foremost, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, they're wide receiver threes. I know this offense is hard to watch sometime, but Geno peppers these guys with targets. You just hope he throws the ball more. DK Metcalf in 6 career games with Geno Smith has never been below a 20% target share. In 6 career games with Geno Smith, Tyler Lockett has never been below a 15% target share, and he's had as high as a 59% target share. So you kind of just have to hope that Geno Smith drops back to throw. And fortunately, the over-under in this game would suggest, and the spread, which has Seattle underdog, would suggest he will be throwing in this game. The backfield is going to be a disaster. And it's way worse than I ever imagined. Travis Homer got hurt last week, and I never victory lapped somebody getting hurt. But on air, I'm like, man, this means that they're going to have to roll with Rashad Penny and Kenneth Walker. I'm interested to see, I said to my co-host, man, who's going to get that third down work? Turns out it was neither. They gave it to DJ Dallas instead. So there was a 4-man running back rotation in Seattle. To me, none of these guys are startable until further notice. If it's anybody, it's Penny, and you hope he busts off a long touchdown, which he has not done so far yet this year.
Let's move on to the Chargers, the banged up Chargers who might be getting back, which is good for them, Keenan Allen, against the Houston Texans.
The Chargers, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, you lose your second best offensive player, Rashawn Slater, and your best defensive player, Joey Bosa, for extended periods, Slater for the season, in the same game. You already don't have Keenan Allen. J.C. Jackson's already hurt on the defensive side. I just feel bad for the Chargers, man. Like, Rashawn Slater is like this young star. Ross, I already told you, we did the offensive line tiers, and we were talking about how close he was to being the best tackle in football. The guy you did call the best tackle in football is also hurt, and we'll talk about that on tomorrow's podcast. I just feel bad for him. And now the markets are, understandably so, collapsing on the Chargers. This line was 7.5. It's now 5. They're giving the over-under 46.5 down to 44. So the holes have not been there for Austin Eckler. He has just 82 rushing yards, and he's getting a lot of work done as a receiver. Keenan Allen being back makes him a must-start. I still think Mike Williams is a must-start. I'd like to see what Josh Palmer's role is. By the way, they also lost Jalen Guyton, the wide receiver. So he's out. So just a disaster so far here for the Chargers. But Justin Herbert is going to get points out of this offense, and he'll get points out of this offense eventually. The concern I have is he's a guy who's already playing hurt, and now he doesn't have his star left tackle. Things are rough for the Los Angeles Chargers right now.
Houston's not a real good fantasy team, and our boy Damian Pierce fumbled twice, Joe.
He fumbled twice, but he had a great role, and he didn't lose either fumble, which is good. But you wonder if Rex Burkhead's snaps are going to go up this week, especially with Houston playing from behind. That would be my big concern in this game. And really, this team right now, it's Damian Pierce, Brandon Cooks are bust. I mean, and Cooks's role has gone down in 3 straight weeks. His targets, catches, and yardage have all decreased from week 1 to week 3, which is a concern. I didn't think Davis Mills was particularly sharp in that game against Chicago.
Do you think it's fair to say, Joe, that Derrick Henry, you know, paid off a little bit for people on Sunday?
Yeah, he did. And, like, I don't want to be fooled, by the way, here. Tennessee and Indianapolis, we're talking now, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, Titans, Colts, obviously.
Yeah, Colts laying 3 at home. 42.5 the total. We've had the rug pulled out from under us multiple times already with Derrick Henry, but second best catch total of his career with 5, his third best yardage total of his career receiving with 58. He also had 20 carries. Now, of course, they were playing from ahead. I still think Derrick Henry is going to be a game script dependent running back on what I think is going to be a mediocre at best football team, but he was involved as a receiver early against the Raiders, and that's at least an encouraging sign. they need to find a way to get the ball in his hands if they're going to be a team playing from behind. I'm not saying that it's going to be a weekly thing here, but this really does raise Henry's profile if he could be expected to be targeted 3 to 4 times a game as opposed to just 1 or 2 times a game. It does raise his profile. One other note for Tennessee, who, by the way, is a horrific fantasy team. Treylon Burks is now a full-time player. After playing just after running routes on just 37% of Ryan Tannehill's dropbacks in week one, it went up to 61% in week two and is now 96%. Treylon Burks is a full-time player in that offense.
Yeah, well, he's been pretty productive with the opportunities he's gotten. What about the Colts? They won the game, Joe. Oh, they're still not really doing much offensively.
They averaged under 4 yards per play. You don't see many NFL teams win when averaging under 4 yards per play, and you certainly don't see many NFL teams beating the Kansas City Chiefs when averaging under 4 yards per play. Kind of a freaky kind of game. The Colts to me, while I'm keeping an eye on Alec Pierce, they're a two-man fantasy show for me. Jonathan Taylor, well, Let me rephrase. They're a 2.5-man fantasy show for me. Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman are hammers. I'd really like to see Taylor get in the end zone sometime soon. That would be nice. But Nyheim Hines in a PPR league is a viable flex with the targets he's getting. He's the only other receiver on this team I trust outside of Michael Pittman. And this tight end situation is abominable. I love Jelani Woods' talent. He scored 2 touchdowns in that game. But if you pick up Woods, you're like, oh, he's going to get touchdowns. You know damn well Mo Alie-Cox is scoring this week. And then next week, you're going to pick up Mo Alie-Cox. Oh, he's getting the targets in the red zone. And then Kylan Granson's going to score the next week. So it's a 3-man tight end rotation on a bad football team, an offensive line that constantly has Matt Ryan under siege. I'm not really buying the Colts based off of what I'll flat out call a fluky victory.
Speaking of fluky, not sure I thought it'd be the 2-1 Bears against the 2-1 Giants, where one of those teams is going to have 3 wins after 4 games.
Fluky is about right for the Bears. Ross, I got to tell you, the company that Justin Fields is in this year is horrifying. Justin Fields has 23 completions and has taken 11 sacks through 3 games. The last time a quarterback started a season with fewer than 25 completions and 10 or more sacks in 3 games was David Carr in 2005 at the end of his inglorious tenure. The last quarterback to do it then, before then, was Tim Couch with the expansion Browns in 1999. Meanwhile, Justin Fields and the Bears have gone 3 straight games without completing 10 passes. The first quarterback to do that since 2011 and the Tim Tebow Broncos. So Justin Fields is up there with David Carr, Tim Couch, and Tim Tebow. We don't see quarterbacks come back from this. And, by the way, the team doesn't trust him to throw, as he threw only 11 passes when they were down by 3 scores against the Green Bay Packers. Darnell Mooney is droppable. You should have already dropped Cole Kmet. The only player who I can play from Chicago this week is Khalil Herbert, the running back. Their run game's been really good. Their pass game is historically bad. It is horrendous.
Giants?
Well, I feel bad for Daniel Jones. I feel bad for Brian Daboll, because they're not going to have, like, it's literally going to be Richie James, David Sills, and they have to throw Kenny Golladay out there. They have no choice. Sterling Shepard's out for the year. It doesn't look like Wandale Robinson or Kadarius Toney are going to play this week. Hey, if you're dying for a receiver, you can play Richie James. Daniel Bellinger, the tight end, is somebody, if you're hurting at tight end, maybe pick him up and see what he does this week, because I think they're going to need him. They need somebody to catch passes out there. But Saquon Barkley is back, and that's a good sign. Saquon Barkley has gained 15 or more yards on 11.3% of his carries. That's the 4th highest rate in the league behind Lamar Jackson, DeAndre Swift, and Aaron Jones. Saquon looks like Saquon for the first time in a couple of years, and that's all's right with the world when Saquon looks like Saquon.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Giants fans. What about one of the games of the day, maybe the game of the day, the Doug Peterson Bowl, Jacksonville Jaguars at the Eagles.
Yeah, so Eagles are laying 6.5 in this game. 47.5 is the total. Again, watch the weather. This one could be rainy with the residuals from Hurricane Ian. Hopefully Dolan's able to get to Philadelphia for the weddings because of Hurricane Ian. The Eagles, so Ross, you know, like Eagles fans can never be like fully happy. The big thing is, oh, they can't score in the second half, okay? Ross, they could still be playing that game against Washington. And Washington wouldn't have come back, even if the Eagles didn't score in the second half, okay? They did not need to. Jalen Hurts has thrown for over 250 yards in each of the past two first halves. How many wide receiver duos in the NFL are better than A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith? Two or three, maybe?
I don't know.
Waddle and Hill, Higgins and Chase. I'd struggle to come up with another one that has two guys as good as Brown and Smith. Those two guys are weekly starters. Jalen Hurts is obviously an MVP candidate right now. Dallas Goedert is a yak monster. He might be second to only George Kittle in that at the tight end position. Miles Sanders has been the Eagles' lead back. He disappointed against the Commanders, but in a potentially rainy game, I wonder if Miles Sanders' legs will be a big focus for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, interesting. All right, what about the Jags?
So the Jags, Trevor Lawrence is playing really well. Doug Peterson's doing a great job. Here's the good news. First and foremost, the Eagles have probably the best outside corner duo in the NFL. But don't worry, because they also have one of the best slot corners in the NFL too. But if I was looking to exploit an Eagles pass defender, it would by process of elimination, it would probably be Avante Maddox, the slot corner. Christian Kirk runs 81% of his routes from the slot. So Christian Kirk is going to be a startable guy. The question I have now, what does the Jaguars running back rotation look like if they're playing from behind? If. Now, they're 6.5-point underdogs in this game, but this has been a better football team than expected. James Robinson has been their clear lead back. I actually think Travis Etienne has looked really good. Per fantasy points data, he is 7th in the NFL in missed tackles forced per carry and is 9th best in yards per route run for running back. So Etienne, in that kind of ancillary role, has been really good. I do hate analysis that says, well, if you take these big plays away, then the guy hasn't done anything. I hate that analysis. But it is worth pointing out, I'm just saying, that James Robinson has two long runs in the last 2 weeks, and he was untouched on both of them. Like, literally untouched. So, great blocking, bad defense, whatever the case. I do think we'll see a little more Travis Etienne in this game. I think he's startable as a flex, but James Robinson right now is a weekly running back too.
Last but not least, Joe.
It's a big slate here, yeah.
Jets-Steelers. Yikes.
Well, is this the Zach Wilson game? Is this the game where Zach Wilson comes back? And then, to me, this becomes an information-gathering game for the Jets. Joe Flacco has thrown over 150 passes in 3 weeks. Ross, I cannot come close to imagining the Jets won Zach Wilson dropping back 50 times. I can't. And then the question I have is, how much of like Tyler Conklin's production, how much of Breece Hall's production, how much of Michael Carter's production is simply because the Jets have been running so many pass plays? And if they slow the pace down, maybe play in a closer game without a wild game script, what does that offense look like, by the way, with a new quarterback? So if Zach Wilson plays in this game, I got to be honest, I'm not really comfortable starting any Jets. I know you might have to throw Breece Hall into a flex. I get that. You don't want to bench Garrett Wilson with how he's looked, though he picked up the rib injury in that game. Conklin's been the tight end 3 this year. So you want to look at this and say, I can't sit any of these guys, but I do anticipate that that offense could look drastically different this week. I think it's an information-gathering game for me, for the Jets offense, presuming Zach Wilson is the quarterback.
Steelers?
Terrible offense. Trubisky, he doesn't throw across the middle. And anytime there's pressure, he's running around out there. Don't worry, Ross. Mitchell Trubisky has earned this starting job because not only are the Steelers dead last in yards gained per drive, but they've also punted on the highest percentage of their possessions in the NFL. So Mitchell Trubisky has earned this job. The only thing is, if this offense is worse with Kenny Pickett, we might be talking Bears-level bad passing game. It's not anywhere close to that right now. I have to imagine Kenny Pickett will be better when he does get the job, but it doesn't look like it's going to be this week. And it's just handcuffing everybody. It's handcuffing Deontay Johnson, who at least has a big role. Pat Freiermuth didn't catch a pass until the end of that game on the last drive. George Pickens made the spectacular catch, but we can't trust him to get consistent targets with Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback. Najee Harris looks like a plotter behind a bad offensive line. Jaylen Warren's just a changeup. You know, like you still have to start Najee and you still have to start Deontay because of their roles. But this offense is just, it's painful to watch right now.
He's Joe Dolan. I'm Ross Tucker. We are the Fantasy Feast. We help you. Listen, if you listen to Joe, it helps season long DFS, even your prop bets. And it's the show that's so nice. We do it twice, a little over 40 minutes, episode one, because there's so many early games with the London game. Now we'll do the late games, the Sunday nighter, the Monday nighter, in episode two, which will be for you bright and early Thursday morning. I'm stuffed, but it's time for dessert.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.